Isn't that exciting to know that our church gets to partner with somebody who is having a global impact? I mean, stop and think about this, that here our medium-sized church is literally having a global impact of something that's happening in the Middle East, because a percentage of every dollar that you give goes to help her and her team do what they do. They rescue these women who have been oppressed and held as slaves with ISIS, and they come along and they bring about all the physical needs that they need, the psychological and emotional, but also the spiritual needs. And they let them know that they are loved and that God really does love them. And we get to be a part of that. And I'm also excited about today because of our t-shirt. Not because everybody gets to go home with the t-shirt. I'm glad for that, but that's not what I'm excited about. What I'm excited about is that the message on the shirt, that it's a reminder of the heart of God. Remember that verse that everybody, you see that football games a lot of times in the background, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Well, that's because God is for the world. And God is for Rhode Island. And that's the message on the t-shirt. And we're letting people know that that's not just God's heart, but God has given that heart to our church. And we get to be a part of that, that we want the state of Rhode Island to know that we are for them, that there's a church that's rooting for Rhode Island. And we know that, you know, Rhode Island is the least business-friendly state in the entire nation. I mean, there's so much going against us, but what we want to come alongside in Rhode Island and say, no, but you know what? God is for us. God really is for us. And what we are hoping to do, and what we've been praying and asking God, is about replicating what we do right here in the city of Cranston, and the way that we love this city, the way that we reach out and serve this city and partner with the Refugee Dream Center, the way that we partner with Stadium Elementary School, and the way that the mayor's office just calls us up and says, hey, we have this need. Can you guys help out in this area? And we're like, yep, we're here to serve you, whatever we can do, right? We want to replicate that in other cities and towns throughout the state of Rhode Island. And, you know, this isn't anything new to those of you who've been coming to church. You know, we've been praying about that. We've been asking God, God, where do you want us to show up? Do you want us to go north, south, east, or west? And as we have invited you into that conversation, as we have been praying, as we have been seeking counsel, we've been talking with others' churches who have used this strategy of what they call multi-site, and seeking their counsel, and also of just seeking God about where does he want us to show up. Well, today, I can stand here before you and say it really looks like that God is leading us to go south from where we currently are. So we are looking hard at going south. We don't have a physical address yet, but we are looking to go along the 95 corridor, maybe exit 7, 6, or 5, you know, somewhere along that 95 corridor, or route 4. Again, we don't know which area, so we need you to continue to pray. We need you to continue to help us and seek God's wisdom and where he wants us to go. But we hope that you'll pray with us about these things. And what we're doing is we're just taking one step at a time. We really are stepping out by faith. We know there is so much preparatory work that has to be done, so much preparation, you know, and we know that we've got at least a year and a half to continue to replicate, to put everything in place that we need to have in place. And so we do need you to continue to pray with us as we seek God and taking these steps, and as we step out by faith. In fact, this is our series that we're in. It's just one step at a time. That's what we're doing with our vision. It's just one step at a time. And we have been in this series because we know how important steps are. We've been in here since the beginning of January, you know, with this image or this graphic of that Fitbit and how steps are so important and tracking our steps. If you're going to have a healthy life, they say count your steps, right? And because steps are important, and they're not just important for healthy physical living, they're important for your spiritual living as well. And so all month long, all of January, we've been asking, are your steps leading you closer to God? or are they taking you further away from God? And today, the question that I want us to wrestle with is this right here, is what excuses do you use to tell yourself why you can't do it? And everybody may have a different, you know, et and what that represents. But, you know, stop and think about all the excuses that you use of why you can't live a more healthy lifestyle. Think about all the excuses that come up of why you can't live by a spending plan. You know, think about all the excuses that you come up with of why you can't do it, whatever the it is. You know, that job, that writing that paper, you know, whatever that is. You stop and think about all of those excuses that we have in our life that we use. Why we should break up out of this relationship, or why we're in a relationship and we're like, we have all these excuses of why we should be out of that relationship. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about this excuse. Do you remember this Super Bowl 51, February the 5th, 2017? Do you remember it was the Patriots versus the Falcons, the Atlanta Falcons? And do you remember at halftime how every Patriot fan was like, we were depressed. We couldn't believe what we saw at halftime. The score was 3-28. We were getting crushed. It was awful. We couldn't believe what we were seeing at halftime. And can you think about being a Patriot going in to that locker room and being in the locker room and knowing this, because we knew this, because all the announcers were telling us, no team has ever come back from a deficit like this from halftime. There hasn't been a team in the NFL history that has ever made up a 25-point deficit, right? And we get into the third quarter. And in the third quarter, with 6 minutes still left to go, the score is still 3-28. We're still down by 25, right? You think about being a Patriot. You think you have every excuse of why. There's no way possible. It's never been done in history. We can't win this game, right? They had every reason, every excuse to put that there. But then we all know, at the end of regulation time in that fourth quarter, we know what happened. The score was tied. It was 28-28. And Brady, he just kept on throwing that ball like there were no excuses, right? And he broke all kinds of records. And the wide receivers were catching the ball. And, the running backs were running that ball, and then there it was in overtime. James White at the 2-yard goal line, right? And it's just like, just push it over, and he pushes it over for a victory, right? 34-28. Hey, something's got to be happy about today, that we know the Pats aren't in the Super Bowl, so let's remember the good times, all right? That's what we're doing today. So, excuses. The Patriots had every reason to have an excuse of why they couldn't win it. And yet they just went ahead. They took those steps as though excuses didn't even matter. And I wonder what kind of excuse that you have, that you're using. The excuse of fear. The excuse of the fear of the unknown. The excuse of coming out of your comfort zone. What excuses are you using? Because whatever excuse you are using, here's the bottom line today. That God can nullify any excuse that you can come up with. God can cancel out. He can override. He can make your excuse null and void. Any excuse that you can come up with. So, how about this action step? How about instead of giving excuses, how about just surrender? How about taking your excuses and just surrendering them over to God? And this is what we're going to see right in our text. In Exodus chapter 3 is where we're going to pick up our story. So if you have your Bibles, you need to turn there. It's Exodus chapter 3 is where we left off the story from last week. And Justin did a great job at bringing that teaching, and he led us to the point to where Moses was having this encounter at that bush with God, at that burning bush with God. And there in that encounter, God had a very clear call on Moses' life. And that clear call was that you are to go back 280 some miles, go back to Egypt, and lead my people out of there. You are to lead them out of the oppression under the Egyptian rule. You're to set them free and lead them into this new land. And then in verses 16 through 22, here's what we have. We have some clear steps that God said. God gives Moses the big picture with these big steps. He says, here's where it's going. These aren't step by step, but these are leap by leap. Here's what's going to happen. You need to end up going. When you go back to Egypt, first you find the leaders of the Hebrew people and you meet with them and you tell them that I sent you. You tell them that this isn't about you, this is about me. And then, after you meet with them, what you need to do is to go to a Pharaoh and you tell Pharaoh to let my people go. You tell Pharaoh that you are to let all of my people go out into the wilderness. And you just ask him for 3 days. But you know what, Moses? Here's what's going to happen. He's not going to let you go. And so I'm going to have to bring down my mighty hand of power and force him to let your people go. And then God says this to Moses, and Moses, you know what? In the end, they're going to pay you to leave. They're going to give you money to leave, to actually leave. They're going to pay your way. So now what I want us to do is to actually pick up in the text and start reading in chapter 4 and verse number 1. Because in chapter 4 and verse number 1 is where these excuses continue. Because remember from last week when Justin was sharing with us that when God had approached Moses like that, Moses' excuse then was, who am I? Who are you? You know, Moses is like, who am I to do this? I'm just a shepherd. This is what I have been. I've been in my comfort zone, 280 some miles away from Egypt, out here in this part of the desert, leading sheep. This is what I know. And God's saying, no, he's calling him out of his comfort zone. He's calling him into this place that he doesn't know exactly what's going to happen. And he's calling him to go back and to lead those people. And he keeps on saying, who am I? And God says, Moses, you've got it wrong. It's not about who you are. It's about who I am. Remember how Justin walked us through that? And it's about he, meaning God. God is the rescuer. God is the provider. It's about who God is, and he's going to do this. It's not about you, Moses. But you know what Moses continues to think? It's about him. Look at chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, but Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me? Or listen to me. What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you, Moses? You know, who do you think you are? These are all the excuses that Moses is offering up. Now, there's something that we should first understand about the history, the time of history that we're in here with this chapter. And that is in the Old Testament history, that if someone showed up and said, I have a message from God, that to prove that their message really was from God, there was some kind of sign that they would be able to demonstrate to those people. And so, if you're new to church, and you're not familiar with this story, you're going to read this and you're going to be like, really, Rick? This is like a fairy tale. I saw the movie. I saw the movie Moses, Rick. I know all about this. It's just a cartoon. No, this is the way, because you got to go back, not just hundreds, you got to go back a few thousand years in history. The world was a different place. And this was the way that God would show that he really was with this messenger who had a message, and he would give those messengers these signs. And so, back into the text, when Moses is using this excuse about they won't, what happens if they don't believe who I am? It almost sounds like God's evading the conversation. Because look what he says. And then the Lord asked him, hey Moses, what's that in your hand? Now, can you just picture, just stop and think about this for a second. You're having this conversation with the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-rescuing, all-provider God, and He's asking you what's in your hand. You know this is a trick question, right? I mean, Moses is thinking about this. God, you know this. You create, you know exactly what's in my, in fact, you know what's in my head. You know what's in my hand. So Moses is like, a shepherd's staff? You know, I mean, can't you see that? You've got to read the Bible with some oomph, you know, this is it. So he's like, what's it? He says, it's a shepherd's staff. And look, this is actually the heart of the issue. This right here is the heart of the excuses. Moses had all of his identity wrapped up in what he was doing, not who he was. This represented all of his doing, all that he had been doing for the past 40 years. He'd been a shepherd. He was leading sheep. And here's what God says in verse number 3. Throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. And so Moses threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake, and Moses jumped back. Because that's what you do, Jack, right? You jump back. If a snake is anywhere near you, you jump back, right? And you freeze. That's what you do. And then you get your 12-gauge Mossberg and you blow its head off. That's the only kind of good snake, right? Is a dead snake. There's no other, my snake is tame. No, it's not tame. That's the devil around your neck. Get it off your neck. My wife held a snake once around her shoulders and I was just like, I can never touch your shoulders again. This is, this is awful. But you know why a snake? And you know, probably a deadly viper. You know why? Because you know what Pharaoh wore on his headdress? The head of a cobra. Power. God tells Moses to throw the staff down on the ground. It turns into this deadly viper. His excuse. God's calling you, and He's calling me, to throw down our excuses at the cross. He calls us to throw down our excuses. And He's calling Moses to throw this down. And you don't have to be a snake handler to know how to handle a snake. But look what he does. He says, and then the Lord told him to reach out and you grab it by its tail. Now you don't grab snakes by their tail. Why? Because their neck will flip right around and shoot their deadly venom right into you, right? I mean, every snake. And don't tell me, they're not poisonous if it's white on black or red on yellow and yellow on black and red. You know, whatever that rhyme goes. No, they're all deadly. They're all deadly. And here he tells him to reach out and grab the snake by the tail. You don't grab snakes by their tail. God's trying to show him something. Moses, it's not about you. It's about my power. My power will overcome Pharaoh. You grab that up. He grabs it by the tail. And it turned back in to a shepherd's staff, right in his hand. See, this is one of the signs that he would use later on to demonstrate that his message really is from God. The story here in the text would go on. And it would go on to say, to give him two more signs. One, where his skin would turn full into leprosy once he put it into his coat and he'd pull it back out and the leprosy would be totally gone. And then there would be this third sign. Because again, this is what they did in that time of history. And in this third sign, Moses was told to go over to the Nile River and to take a bucket of water. And you take that water from the Nile River and you pour it out among those leaders of the Hebrew people. And as you do that, that water will turn to blood all over the ground. Now why? Why? Because I believe, because that would have been God showing and demonstrating that He was not blind to all that had happened to those infant baby boys where Pharaoh had said so many years ago that to throw every baby boy into that Nile River. God was saying to them, He's a just God, and justice is showing up. You know, justice sometimes takes time. And now over 40 years have passed, or longer than that. It's been about 80 years since that time had happened. 80 years has went by, and they felt like no justice has happened. But God now turning that water into that blood. Reminding him, God's justice is coming. And I am going to set you free. And again, I come back to this question. What excuse? What excuse or excuses are you using that you need just to throw down, that you need to surrender to God and let God show up in all of His power? Well, the excuses continue. He says, and if you slide down to verse number 10, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, "Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words." I can relate to that. "I've never have been and I'm not now. And even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get all tangled." Right? So here is yet another excuse. And God is like, "Moses, you keep on getting this wrong. It's not about you. It's about me working in and through you. And it's not about you saying what you can't do. It's about God coming and working in and through you to that call that He has on your life." That's what this is about. And so finally, God just says, "Now just go. Moses, just go." He says, "And I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say." So will you stop with all these excuses already? And Moses just can't. Moses does this. If you slide to verse 13, he says, "But Moses again pleaded, Lord, just please, God, please just send anyone else. You know, anyone else can do this." Moses could have probably had a list of people sent in, you know, of all these other people who could do such a better job. Other people that Moses may look at and say, "Oh, they've got the gift of leadership. Oh, they've got the gift. Oh, they know so much about the Bible. You could use them, God. Oh, man, they are so good with people. God, you know, I don't even like people. I like sheep. And that's why I've been working with sheep. And you want me to go work with people, right? I mean, it's like anyone else but me." And God comes back in His grace and in His mercy. He says, "All right, Moses, you need a team of people. I get it. I'll send you your older brother, Aaron." So Moses' older brother, Aaron, would come and be and work with Moses. And God would say, Moses will be your mouthpiece. You will tell Moses everything that I've told you. You know, go find Moses and bring him up to speed on where we're at. Bring him up to speed on everything that's supposed to happen in just the way that I told you it's going to happen. And get him on the same page. And as a team, I'll send you out. And look what happens. Slide down to verse number 17. And here's what I love. God and Moses goes to leave this time of meeting with God. And look what he does. God says, "Take your shepherd's staff with you and use it to perform the miraculous signs I have shown you." Are you hearing this? Take those excuses that you are using, take that excuse that you have in your hand, the very thing that kept the power of God from coming and working in and through you, take your excuses and bring it with you, because now it's going to be your excuse that my power will be show up, my power will be demonstrated through your very excuses, and watch what I can do in and through you when you surrender. That's what God has for you. And for us in this point in time in history, when we come to the cross, the power of the cross, when we come to this resurrection power, power that Jesus offers, this transformation that he offers. This is what God can do with every excuse that you offer up, that his power can be demonstrated in and through every one of your excuses, to nullify them, to cancel them out, to override whatever your excuse is. God's power can show up through it, just like it will in Moses' staff. But first, you got to be willing just to throw it down. First, you got to be willing to let it go and surrender and submit to the power of the cross. And I want you to listen in to the McCourty brothers as they share. And as Devin starts off, he will share that he's like, who am I? I'm just like made from dirt. That the power of the cross would come in and allow me to do what I'm able to do. Listen to him, or to both of them. Both of the brothers are here on this video in their own words.
Dirt that God's been good to. And I think of the resurrection as Jesus decided to come down and save a bunch of people who didn't deserve to be saved. If I can remember I'm just dirt that he's been good to, then I can view that resurrection as everything, as my whole being, because he decided that even though I was unworthy, I didn't earn it, I didn't deserve it, that his grace would be enough and be sufficient, that he would come and he would go through something that no matter what we go through in life, we'll never experience that, you know, being crucified. But then to know, you know, in 3 days, he rises. And I've learned that, man, you just have to rest in that and dwell in that. And the more I dwell in that, I feel like I'm always in a better space for myself. You'd be willing to give him anything when you realize that he is your everything. I think sometimes, especially for us as professional athletes, you get lost and you're making a lot of money. People a lot of times look up to you and think you're more than who you are because you play a sport. And I think when we think about what Jesus did, no one on this earth is perfect. No one has lived without sin until he came down and showed us how to live a perfect life. So he had no reason to go give his life on the cross because he did it. He lived a perfect life, a life without sin. But still, he decided to go on that cross and die for individuals that lived with sin their entire lives. And he gave that up for us. And not only did he, but God sent his only son down. And I think when you look at your own life and your own trials and tribulations through that lens, it just lightens things and you realize that it's not that important. Like, a loss on a Sunday isn't the end of the world, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And I think a guy like Matthew Slater, spending his last year for me in New England, every time he prays, whether it's before a game, whether it's blessing the food, he always talks about what Jesus did on Calvary. And that was just something I picked up just being there for the first year, is that he just always referenced that and always brings it up and just always makes it known. And I think it's something that a lot of times, sometimes we go through our daily life, even when we're in the Word, we just kind of not brush over, but we sometimes take it for granted of what he did. And to think about how incredible that actually was, is just something that's really special. And it's the reason why we all get a chance to do what we do.
See, that's the power of the cross, right? Well, you take out your connection card. It's inside your bulletin. And I want you to notice the very first next step on there. And it has, this deals with that very, the very fact, the power of the cross. It says, I have all kinds of excuses for why I have never surrendered my life to God. Pray for me. I need to surrender all those excuses and invite Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Have you ever gotten to that point to where you could actually surrender all of your excuses? I mean, you, in your mind, you have all these excuses of who God is, in your mind, you have all these ideas that you have to clean up your life first and that you have to get everything in order first. And that's not what God says. God says, just come to me. Will you just come and lay down all that stuff and invite me into your life? Acknowledge that you have a need for a Savior. And when you acknowledge that you have a need and that you are kept separated from God, from entering into a relationship with God, but it was Jesus on the cross who paid for our sin debt, a debt that we could never pay. Would you put, just lay your excuse down and receive the power of the cross? We would love to pray for you by name. If you check that off and just put your name there, we'll pray for you by name. If you would include your phone number, we would love to have a conversation around you, because maybe you have more questions about what this really means. And we would love to talk with you about that. For those who are in the room, I want you to, who are Christ followers, you've already given your life to Jesus. And you would say this other next step, this is where you are. You would say, I am a Christ follower. And I know I have been offering my own excuses. I am committed to surrendering my excuses to God and following His call. You know, some of you know God's called you to do something very specific. Or at least you know He's calling you to something. Maybe you don't quite know what it is. But would you just surrender whatever excuse that you're using that is holding you back? Would you just surrender? Just say, God, I'm tired of giving you one excuse after the other because I continue to feel at unrest. I continue to feel not at peace on the inside. And the way that you're going to work through that unrest, the way that you're going to be at peace on the inside is when you just surrender like Moses did and just throw it down. And that's what God's calling you to do. He's calling you just to throw your excuses down. I want to pray for us this morning. Father, I pray for every one of us, because every one of us in this room is holding on to some type of an excuse. And Father, I pray that you would bring that excuse to the forefront of every person's mind. Whether it's keeping them from placing their faith and trust in you as Savior, or whether they already have done that, but their excuse is keeping them from committing to whatever their next step is. God, I am pleading with you. Give us breakthrough today in our lives. And God, let us just throw down our excuses at your feet. And may we just trust in your power. May we stop thinking it's about us. And may, Father, we just submit and surrender. May we acknowledge it's about you working in and through us. And so we come submitted to you. Please work in all of our lives. And this way we pray in Jesus' name.